Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout. It's a podcast. You probably know that. Subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And all of our shows are produced at WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. I'm Simon Rentner. What you're listening to right now is one of the hottest artists in the UK right now. His name is Alpha Mist. Right here, you're listening to him on a joint from 2016 with another UK artist, Tom Misch. It's called Hark. It was around this time, or I should say probably 2 years earlier, when a young Alpha Mist found a tight-knit community online on SoundCloud. And there he was able to connect with many other producer-minded artists like Mish and another artist from New Zealand like Jordan Rakai and many, many others. It is on SoundCloud where Alpha Mist initially found a home, became visible, and built his enthusiastic grassroots following, and maybe even found his sound of melancholy ecstasy. We're going to be talking about all of that on today's conversation with Alpha Mist, who's now 29 and certainly matured artistically, taking his music to new turns with his latest Bring Backs. I should mention that in celebration of this recording, Alpha Mist will be doing a free live stream concert from Metropolis Studios with his 12-piece band on April 22nd. You can go to our website, checkoutjazz.org, to find out more information. Now, our conversation with Alpha Mist. The mystery that is Alpha Mist, well, at least he's a mystery to us on the other side of the pond. He's based in London in the UK, and Alpha Mist is not his real name. That would be way too convenient. Alpha.
Seshi Toleko. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate you taking out the time.
I sort of put you in this category of a modern musician. And so that just encompasses more than just playing a keyboard. You're a rapper, you're also a producer, methodically coming out with one intriguing recording after another. I feel like every recording is slightly more ambitious. The latest being Bring Backs.
Yeah, it's basically a rule in a card game. Only really played in the UK. We called it Blackjack when I was younger. It was nothing to do with the Blackjack, you know. It's closer to Uno. It's that sort of game, so.
You don't celebrate until you win the next match, or what is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so an optional rule in this card game, which is about getting rid of all your cards, is called the Bring Backs rule. So that means basically when you've gotten rid of all your cards and you've won the game, you have to wait a whole other round. And if the person that came before you has an attack card, that is a card to make you pick up cards. Even though you're out, you have to pick up your cards and carry on playing. You have to be in the game. So you've left the game and you have to wait that round. So it's like, I've won, but have I actually won yet? We have to wait and see. But I sort of applied that to life because I'm sort of been living in that state where it's like, okay, I'm making music. I'm doing okay for myself. But, you know, you talk to family and friends because, you know, you didn't grow up like, you know, well off. You didn't grow up with a lot of... So someone sees you with a tiny bit of, you know, I'm doing my own shows and stuff. They're like, oh, you're rich, man, you made it. You know, you're done, man, you've won, it's over, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, no, I can't really ever get that feeling because of what I've seen around me. It's just this constant uneasiness. You've seen people around you, things happen, and then you've seen the rug pull from underneath them. So you have that constant looking over your shoulder like, okay. Serious face, cause it's really a race. Trying to stabilize while my health deteriorates. My fever leaves me in delirious state. Now I'm growing weary of fakes. Here to replace, they cheer me and wait. Until they hear a mistake. I don't wanna lose my drive, so I'm steering away. Plus I got a call saying that a period's late. So I'm opening my calendar and clearing the dates. It's fate, I'm just a battler. Too black to be tattered up. A hunter and gatherer. Lunge if you're bad enough. Been thrown downstairs, I clung to the banister. I used to have it rough, saw my plan erupt. Now I'm on the set, playing 3 months of Soul Calibur. I miss brekkie, need lunch for the stamina.
Young and dumb like a man in love. Meant to vote, do the ballot, but I'd rather see the planet crush or organic rust.
Rapping is just one of the tools that you have. So in your toolbox, how many instruments do you have ultimately? How many tools do you have?
In my toolbox, I don't actually think of the toolbox. I think of what the thing needs. It's like when there's a song there, it's like, what does this need? But normally when it comes to keys, I'm like, I can do that myself. And when it comes to rap, it's like, I can do that myself. So I would say it's mainly those two. I won't profess to be anything on bass or guitar or drums or, you know what I mean? I won't profess. Like, I can get an idea down. I want the songs. I want everything that happens to benefit the song.
Nobody listens anymore. What are we talking for? We've been here before. Do we want more? But if the
rap, I'm kind of fortunate with rap because I was really into it from very young, just really into the technical side of, you know, rapping. And, you know, there's artists, there's so many crazy amazing rappers, but like Elzai, for example, he was a big influence. Fonte, he was another one.
Under the covers, feeling like I'm time wasting. My mind's racing, my thoughts are migrating. Thinking about the walk that I'm chasing. A corpse alive, waiting for the dawn, and I'd stake it. But of course, my eyes playing tricks. The night's awful, the day's a miss. This isn't normal, I would pay to drift. Or have a makeshift portal made to the land of Nod. And if not, praying for the hand of God. Take me to the place where I can dream of days of panda pops. Poker in the classroom, where I played my hand and lost. To a dragon dressed as a damsel in distress. Havoc in a dress, showing random interest. I'm sitting stressed, but nobody planned to interject. What is this? Well, imagine the brink of death had relatives. That's vaguely what happened. I think I slept, power nap for a minute. Get me a map to a different bed that's relaxing and rigged with sedatives. I'm tired.
Your journey to music is really interesting, especially to jazz, instrumental music. Teaching yourself how to play the piano when you're 17 years old. I just want to know what that looks like and how did that work?
Music's interesting because it didn't start for me at 17. I was always making beats. I was making beats in secondary school, just using like Fruity Loops. There's like a software back then called Fruity Loops. It's still around today, of course, but that's what I used to use back then. So I was making beats, listening to stuff, looking for samples for hip hop stuff, and just playing around, man. I couldn't understand what was going on within the samples I was listening to. So I just thought, you know, I need to get a handle on this stuff because some of the stuff I'm coming across is beautiful. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, how do I make that sort of stuff myself? So I was a bit older at that point, you know, around college, and in my college, I didn't do an A-level, I did a B-Tech, which was, you know, A-level students could get free music lessons, but B-Tech students couldn't. So I got really annoyed at that. I was quite stubborn, so I was like, I'm gonna teach myself then, if nobody wants to, you know. I kind of got into that sort of thing. I just started listening to stuff and just, you know, maybe, you know, for making beats and stuff, I had a pretty good ear from that stuff. And then, but I just found it much easier to learn a song I physically couldn't play, and then once I could play that, move on to another one I physically couldn't play. And it was literally that.
I know there was some like Jay Dilla stuff and some Pete Rock stuff that you were trying to work out on the piano, but like what songs?
Yeah, so there was like a live performance of Bill Evans' Nardis. It's like a black and white. I can't remember what year it was, but Bill Evans' Nardis, that's one of the earlier songs.
Beautiful song.
Yes, it's amazing. I just wanted to know what he was doing on that specific live performance. That was quite early because a lot of Bill Evans stuff, I could just hear the voicings in a lot of, you know, Dylan. It's not to say that I know directly they were used as samples, but a lot of the voicings from Bill Evans, Herbie, Ahmad Jamal was, you know, it was quite prevalent in the stuff I was listening to, Tribe Called Quest. And yeah, that's definitely where I started from. And then I just sort of opened up.
And so you just basically taught yourself Nardis on the piano. Is that sort of how it
pretty
went?
Much. I didn't know what was going on, but I was like, let me learn what this is, like what I can hear, and then, you know, just practice what I can hear, and then we'll work backwards from there.
How doom hold heat and preach non-violence. He about to start the speech, come on, silence. On one starry night, I saw the light. Heard a voice that sound like Barry White, said, sure you're right.
I feel like Bill Evans is a really nice place to start because it's you know, impressionistic. It's more about, it's not too technical. It's not like Oscar Peterson.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I wasn't, and to be fair on Bill Evans, it's not like I was like, I started off... mainly trying to track the voicings and harmony and stuff like that. I didn't go deep into what his soloing was doing because my technique, you know, it just wasn't Bill Evans yet. Bill Evans is still ridiculously technically great, do you know what I mean? So it's not like I was doing that, but I was just trying to get my hands around the sound. For even if I just learned two chords, those chords back and forth, they kind of make you want to carry on, you know?
There's definitely a kind of melancholic, you could say impressionistic identity in your sound. Everything's kind of in a mid-tempo too. You have this sweet spot. And in this sweet spot, I also feel like a Fender Rhodes always has to be there.
Yeah, you know, I just really like that sound. And I'm really into people making music that's sort of similar to themselves or whatever color they think they are in terms of just, you know, harmonic color. And I think I can never stray too far from this sort of moody sort of, just because I don't really go out partying and stuff, like I'm just not that guy naturally, so it just kind of feeds through the music. And that's all I'm trying to do. I'd rather make stuff that's, the closer I am to me, that's how I know I'm improving, basically. There's actually an album, George Duke Faces in Reflection. Like, basically, the Faces in Reflection tune there, that sort of sums up just how I feel a lot, you know? So, yeah, really into that. And, you know, there's a bunch of stuff like that, but yeah, just a window.
I want to not just play records from your recent outing, because you've been really putting out strong work ever since the beginning, since your, I would say, auspicious debut in 2015.
Thank you.
So let's listen to something from that. How about the Tom Misch song?
And mellow.
but no peace.
That was No Peace from Nocturne in 2015. And this record of beats primarily is just another chapter in your evolution, I suppose, because you haven't really made a record like this since. This was the only one.
Yeah, I mean, I've got, you know, concepts for everything I put out. And for Nocturne, the concept was collaboration. So it was like, what can I do to bring this person out, you know, on my music? Like, where's the middle ground that we have? And it was a lot of sort of sacrifice and, you know, from both sides. And that was the point of Nocturne.
We just heard another one of your collaborations from Nocturne with Jordan Rakai, Hopeful.
Yeah, Jordan's amazing, man. Don't know if you listen to his stuff, like, since that. Jordan's one of my, you know, one of my favorite artists. He's sort of like in sync with me in mood-wise. So a lot of the times we connect, like, it's a lot of an easier process, and it's just more about where do we want to go with this song. You know, I had him on my last project, Structuralism, on a tune called Door. Something there in the corner of my eye. And it was quite different from a lot of the stuff on Structuralism. So it's almost like I'm, you know, it's kind of maybe this is where I'm going next with the journey and stuff like that. But really and truly, it wasn't really alluding to a guitar album next. It wasn't doing that, but it was more exploring, you know, just I was trying to fit Jordan and his moods and I thought that, you know, less keys and more, I don't know, Tom Yorke, Radiohead-y sort of thing, that probably would have worked more for him.
Did you see what Jordan was doing when we're locked down, about how he would just create a song from nothing? Did you see that YouTube video of him doing that?
Yeah, I saw him that because we've got a podcast. So with me, Jordan, Barney, and Tom, we've got a podcast called the Are We Live Podcast, and we were basically doing the quarantine sessions around that time. So I knew about that whole A Song From Nothing thing. He just works very hard with his, you know, Patreon and teaching and sharing knowledge and stuff like that. So yeah, I respect it.
In terms of your sort of songwriting compositional process, is it similar to his, or how would you differ?
Yeah, Jordan is basically like a machine, and it's a mathematical thing for him where he has a process and he goes through the process, whereas I have thoughts basically. So I have more, this is an idea I want to explore, and then the tune gets built in terms of, it's more in terms of colouring and what do I want to, you know, what kind of groove do I want to keep up through this song? So it's more that, and then I just let whoever's playing on it do their thing. And I'm just like, you know, press record, good luck, gentlemen or ladies. Okay, this is the idea of the groove, guys. But then I just let people that are better than me take it where it needs to go.
Let's give a shout out to the people on this album, Bring Backs, and also on the record before it, Antiphon. Yep. We have Jamie Leeming on guitar, Kaya Thomas Dyke on bass and vocals, Jamie Houghton on drums, and Johnny Woodham on trumpet, electric trumpet with some pedals. Seems like the people that you've worked with have really blown up. Jordan and Tom, I mean, their careers have really elevated in the last 5 years specifically. And you're like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, they're on my debut album. Like, that works for me.
No, these guys were, the thing I like about when doing the podcast with these guys, everyone's just on completely different paths, man. Like, Tom is just doing his thing. But Tom was already like, I think even 2015, he was already like a special kid back then. Like, he had a huge fan base. It just wasn't really publicized. And Jordan, he's just, you know, he's been amazing. He's Santa Ninja Tune and he's done his thing over there. And, you know, Barney, he's doing his thing as well. Barney Ice is an amazing rapper. Yeah, I've collaborated with these guys quite a bit, you know, especially Barney. And there's a tune actually on Barney's latest project called Statues that I'm on and I produced as well. So I'm happy with how we're all doing. Thank you.
Feels like I've been running for years. Heard all the hurts that I had from my peers. Peers getting closer to the seafront. Rapping is my job, but I don't speak much at home. Silence is my sanctuary when feeling alone. Perfecting these woes, drowning them. Smoking this crow, hoping these clouds are lifting. Who am I becoming? Getting high just to pray that I don't plummet. Few by this bitterness, my tank is overrunning. Clutching the fibers, I wanna feel something. I'm scared that I'm missing the boat. Swimming this and sinking if you're willing to float. Time causes ripples when you're flinging the stone. Sediment grows till eventually soaked. Bread's getting wet for a coat. What's a deposit when the shank is in your pocket? The feds at the top of your rope. Give it a go, wisdom is growth. Give me a toe. Older than I'm getting has me closer to my end. Life is like a...
Some days I wanna run away. I swear there ain't no reason to stay. There's only pain in this place. Now won't you meet me in the middle today?
Of all the records, I've settled on Epoch more than I thought I would, just because it just sounds great. I mean, it almost reminds me of like Robert Glasper's Black Radio, the original, but like the UK version or something, like an alternate reality. It's a really, really beautiful vibe, great arrangements, an amazing chemistry between the two of you, especially.
Yeah, with MV it was just very easy. That was a split down the middle 50-50 project where I just do the beats. I don't really, you know, okay, I rapped once here, but everything else, vocal arrangement, songwriting, she could really bring out the spirit of the music. That's the very first project I did, because that came out in 2014, but I just re-released it in 2020. It was like when I had enough money to press some vinyl for it, you know. So
recorded this back in 2014?
Yeah, it actually came out. It was a SoundCloud release back in the day when SoundCloud was a thing and it was doing well, and you know, everyone was sharing music and ideas over SoundCloud. 2014 was an interesting era for the culture of this kind of music, and then. But then we sort of brought it back to life in 2020 when I set up my label and stuff like that. So I think it's good to, because we brought it to people that, you know, would have never heard it before. So it's like releasing a new record to us. So it was good.
So to go into that a little deeper, what makes 2014 so special, especially on your scene? What are you referring to?
So I'm just referring to SoundCloud. It was kind of like open season for musicians to just make an idea, upload it. There's musicians that were just making stuff every day, uploading it to a free platform, and other people can listen to it, come across it, repost it, share it. And it was just really a song thing. There wasn't really, it's not like Twitter where there was a feed of comments and people having and talking and stuff like that. It was more the music, and you'd come across music that you'd hold close to you and would mean so much to you, you know, years after. And it was just it was the culture of, it was weird. Like, it was a lot. That's how I met Tom Jordan. I've known Barney since I was pretty young, so I've known him already, but Tom and Jordan messaged me from Australia, but it was through SoundCloud that we know each other, you know. And
you guys were just unofficially releasing music on SoundCloud, just putting it out in the ether.
Yeah, you just put it out there, because there wasn't a thing of, you know, it's like you just drop it. Oh, if people come across it, some of the songs would do really well. And if not, like, you just never know what's going to happen. So you upload stuff. It got people into the spirit of finishing music and putting it out. Because there's a lot of talented people, but a lot of people don't finish music and put out their music also. So SoundCloud was a great trial. You know, there was a load of things going on around that time. Anyone you talk to in sort of soul music will probably remember that era.
Can you come up with songs you came across just on SoundCloud exclusively that you were that hip to?
There was definitely, like, that's definitely how I came across Tom Misch. So Tom used to upload things every single day. So I didn't do that, but he used to upload a beat every single day. He used to thank Dilla, make a beat, like, you know, put like his guitar and stuff on it, hip hop swing, just every single day without stopping, relentless. It's not even like you thought you were part of a community. You were just putting your music out and you kind of saw people that were just doing it as consistently as you were. And it's just like, oh yeah, we're all doing this. Oh, that's good what you're doing. Oh, that's dope what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. So it was just a thing that we kind of coined in retrospect almost. I mean, you could go back and do a like a little doc on it, but it's like we weren't aware that this was like a golden period for us, you know?
Back home, belly full, skin kissed from sun-drenched red earth. The land of her birth gave her tools to navigate the world. From Africa to Europe via Caribbean she came. She came to land where cool breeze meant freeze, and soup and curry carried aromas to open door no more. Fed me tales of mango scent and yam roots, kept my cup full of tea, while hers half plenty empty.
Alpha Mist, I feel like with your journey, just musically speaking, and what drives you, I feel like you have inadvertently brought a lot of people into jazz, brought a lot of people into the jazz world that probably weren't in it in the beginning. Did you find that?
Yeah, I definitely found that with when Antiphone came out, it kind of got warped into this YouTube algorithm where it was played after beat tapes and stuff like that. So it kind of looks like, okay, you're going to listen to a beat tape, but then you get into some sort of gateway sort of music, basically into jazz stuff that you weren't really sure whether it was beat tape. People were asking me how I produced it, what did I sample and stuff like that. And I was like, I didn't sample anything. And I've definitely appreciate being part of the, like, I've got a lot of messages from people saying, oh man, I found some jazz stuff through you. But that's all I've done. When I made hip hop beats before, it was through hip hop that I found jazz stuff. So if my music then, you know, comes full circle and does that for other people, all I can do is just be grateful, basically, innit?
Basket on head to paper bags and plastic wrapped bread. She worked and she hurt from the names that she heard. But Friday was payday and glory come Sunday.
We just heard one of the fine tracks from Alpha Mist. Latest recording, Bring Backs, entitled Last Card Bumper Cars. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to learn more about Alpha Mist and hearing him talk about his process and other musical ideas, well, I definitely encourage you to check out his podcast, We Are Live, with Barney the Artist, Tom Misch, and Jordan Rakai. Check out all of their music too on SoundCloud. It is definitely an internet wormhole you want to dive into. If you enjoy the Checkout podcast and we introduce you to artists that you like to listen to, well, let us know. Reach out to us via Twitter at Checkout Jazz. That's our handle. You can also find me at Simon Rettner on Instagram, also Twitter. And if you subscribe to the podcast, we would appreciate a review wherever you subscribe. And again, make sure to check out Alpha Mist free live stream concert on April 22nd featuring his 12-piece band,
celebrating bringbacks. You can go to our website, checkoutjazz.org, for more information. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.
Wait, hold on. One sec.